Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Hey, our society, it seems to be obsessed. There's this cultural thing in our Western American society where people are obsessed with kind of, capturing your 15 minutes of fame. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, everybody wants to capture their 15 minutes of fame. And it's really kind of part of that selfie culture that we've been talking about over the past couple of weeks, where, our attention, our thoughts, it revolves around, for a lot of people out there, especially for our younger people out there, their daily existence kind of revolves around posting videos or pictures of themselves with the hopes of it going viral. Because people are looking for their 15 minutes of fame. And things go viral when people like or reshare stuff that you've posted where what was a very localized experience, like in your living room, becomes some sort of global rage on social media. All of a sudden, things go viral. Man, we hear that on the news. It went viral because everybody kind of saw it on their little screens all over the place. As Pastor Vicki and I were kind of reflecting on this week's message, we started talking about our brushes with fame. Pastor Vicki and Pastor Joe's brushes with fame. And the more we talked about it, neither of us have really posted anything interesting enough to go viral. We've never had that happen to us before, but we have had our momentary intersections with famous people. We've had moments in time where we've had where our lives have intersected with famous individuals. And there was that time we got to talking, and there was that time that Pastor Vicki got to meet her favorite professional wrestler movie star, Nacho Libre. I mean, if you really want to know the truth, Pastor Vicki's got a little bit of a crush on Jack Black. I'm just going to say it. It's a true statement. And then there was that time that I was beamed up to the bridge of the Starship Enterprise. That actually is something that happened. And how could we forget that time when Pastor Vicki was a special guest star on Charlie's Angels? And then that got us thinking, oh, yeah, remember Pastor Joe when you got into that fight with Jackie Chan? Remember that one? Oh. No stunt doubles were used either, I'm telling you. And then we got to feeling a little romantic, and there was that moment when Pastor Vicki and I, we had our Titanic moment with Leonardo DiCaprio. And probably one of my favorite moments in my life was kind of one of my childhood crushes when I got to have a sit-down conversation with Barbara Eden from I Dream of Jeannie. Now, you've probably guessed it by now, but like all of our intersections with famous people happened at the Wax Museum in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. These are all silly examples, right? But there's something buried deep in each and every one of us that drives the desire to go viral, to be seen, to get attention, to get your 15 minutes of fame. There's just something in us as humans, and really it's kind of like narcissism or vanity or pride, and it's part of our media-driven culture. And it really, if you think about it, if you step back and watch what's happening today in our culture, it really brings the worst out of people. It really brings the very worst out of humanity. This morning, as we continue our study on the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7, I want us to take a couple of moments to focus on the concept of humility. We're going to talk about humility this morning. While the world tells us a story that going viral or getting 15 minutes of fame is a measure of success or arrival, Jesus tells us a different type of story. Last week we learned that the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 are not a consolation prize for the hard knocks of life. And sometimes I think we look at the Beatitudes as a consolation prize for losing at life. Well, you get something here for all of your hardships. Instead of them being a consolation prize, we talked about how the Beatitudes really embody who Christ is calling each of us to become in our lives. Where the Ten Commandments, remember we talked about the Ten Commandments last week? The Ten Commandments do nothing more than label sin. They label sin in that passage we read in Romans at the beginning of the service this morning. You know, all that happens is when we label sin is it just kind of turns on the, when we label sin, it turns the sin nature on in our lives. You know? So the Ten Commandments, it tells us what's wrong to do. And what do? We go right to that wrong stuff. Because that's how we're wired. And where the Ten Commandments do nothing more than label sin, the Beatitudes that Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, they call us to become something more than who we are, who we were born into this world. Something more than our sinful nature. While the law of Moses and the Ten Commandments are good and holy and useful, they are limited in their ability to deliver us from our sinful, selfish nature. That sinful nature that holds us down, that sinful nature that limits our potential, that sinful nature that works in our lives that leaves us hungry for, there's got to be something more in this life. We drew our attention last week back to the prophet Ezekiel, and Ezekiel foreshadowed in Ezekiel chapter 36, he foreshadowed that God intends, it's been God's plan, to show his holiness through his people. It's God's plan to show his holiness to the world through you and through me as we are made holy. It's God's plan that he would remove from us our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh that can be transformed so that we can realize our full potential, who we were intended to be in the first place. And so last week we looked at Ezekiel a little bit. Guess what? Ezekiel is not the only prophet who latched onto this theme, this truth of needing a heart replacement. Remember last week, we need a heart upgrade. Amen? Amen. Jeremiah chapter 31, and I promise you it's the right verse this morning. Last week I got my verses extrapolated a little bit. I apologize for that. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 through 34. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. The law of Moses is the first covenant, the old covenant. But Jeremiah says, the time is coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers, Moses, Ten Commandments, when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt because they broke my covenant. They broke it. Though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord. Get this. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Amen. He's going to write it. He's not going to chisel it in stone. It's God's plan to write his law, his holy law, on our hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, say, know the Lord, because they will all know me. They will know me from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. The new covenant, the new promise in Jeremiah. So let's fast forward the clock all the way to that mountainside in Galilee where all of Jesus' followers in Matthew chapter 5 have gathered around for him to deliver the Sermon on the Mount. They've come to learn, and he begins to lay out a teaching that is very different. It is very different than anything that they had been taught up to this point, but it is something that resonates with their hearts. And if we really take the time to listen to it and to focus in on the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, we find that it really resonates in our hearts too, because it's what we've always been looking for. It's what we've always been hoping for. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, blessed, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. These first three blessings in the Beatitudes, they are all about humility. They all center around this concept of humility. In a world where it seems like wealth wins, Jesus says, blessed are the poor. In a world where the victors live and the conquered die, Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. In a world where the bully gets the brass ring, Jesus says, blessed are you. Blessed are the meek. In a world where the prevailing wisdom or culture says one thing, Jesus is teaching his disciples a different story. You see it kind of playing out here? World says one thing. I've been taught one thing in synagogue or temple, these Jewish people are thinking, but here's Jesus. He's starting to unfold a different story. He's starting to unfold the reality of the new promise, the new covenant that Jeremiah had prophesied about hundreds of years earlier in the Old Testament. And here's Jesus with this different story, teaching us that the economy of his kingdom doesn't work on the same principles. It does not work on the same principles this world works upon. Jesus says, I don't need you to be rich. I don't need you to be a bully. I don't need you to be a conqueror. I'm simply calling you to intentionally be humble. Be humble. To be the church, we must become humble. The words of Jesus Christ, this is new stuff. This is new. Nowhere in the Ten Commandments does it say, thou shalt be humble. Etched in stone, number 11. Ding, 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 ding. Nowhere in the Ten Commandments does it say, thou shalt not be an arrogant, self-centered buffoon of a jerk. Ching, 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 ching. It's not in there. It's not in the Ten Commandments. Humility, though, is at the very core of this different type of story, this new covenant that Jesus is teaching these people. And we find it woven throughout the scriptures. Pastor Vicky alluded to a few this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 11. Jesus, red letter words of Jesus, Luke chapter 14. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. That's the economy of heaven right there in a nutshell. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 29. Jesus again, red letter words. He says, and boy, don't we need this verse this morning. He says, take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Take my yoke. It's lighter. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle, meek. I am gentle and humble of heart. And when you do that, you will find rest for your souls. I could preach a sermon on that verse right there. I could spend the next 40 minutes. Then you go forward a little bit in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 4. Jesus says, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom. In the economy of the kingdom of heaven, the humble will be exalted. The humble will find rest. The humble will be considered the greatest. And it's not just Jesus. We find a few other familiar testaments, a few other passages in the New Testament on humility. In Philippians, Paul really caught on. And think about who Paul was. We've been studying about Paul in our Wednesday night Bible studies. And, you know, Paul, at the beginning of his story, he was kind of an arrogant jerk who persecuted the church under the name of the Law of Moses. Right? And his life was so transformed by the love of Jesus that he's writing, we find in his writings in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. This is a man whose life has been transformed. He's been sanctified by the Holy Spirit. He's saying, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. And he's writing it to the church. These are words to the church, people who know Jesus. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. James, in his epistle to the church, James chapter 4, verse 10, he heard Jesus too. And in his teaching to the church, he says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Peter heard it too. Peter in his teaching. See, we got Paul, we got James, we got Peter here. Peter's first letter to the church, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, he says, all of you, and again, here's Peter. Peter was kind of a heady kind of guy too. We know about Peter. He had ego issues. He had ego issues. And here's Peter. He had learned. He had been transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. He says, all of you, church, again, this is a letter to the church, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. It's not just humility, but clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because when we're humble, it's not just about humility of heart, but other people are going to be impacted by our humility or lack thereof. He says, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. Humility matters. We don't talk enough about humility these days, but humility matters in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom that Jesus wants to partner with us to establish here on earth. It matters so much that Jesus made it the focal point of his first three teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. He honed right in on this issue of humility. If we are to become the people Jesus intends us to be, if we are to aspire beyond the basic foundation, the floor of the Ten Commandments, like we talked about last week, if we are to realize our full potential, Jesus is calling you and he's calling me to learn to become people of humility. Humility. It's easy to hear a sermon like this and say, I get it, Pastor. I'm a pretty humble person already. I'm pretty humble already. You know, if that's like the narrative in your head, there's probably some work the Lord needs to do in your heart. Because really, the song in your heart isn't what we were singing this morning. The song in your heart is like the song of the words of that country song by Mac Davis. Remember Mac Davis? Just passed away last year. I didn't realize he passed away during COVID. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when I'm perfect in every way. I can't wait to look into the mirror because I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a blank of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. I didn't realize I was going to do that this morning. I'm sorry. We struggle with humility. We struggle with, every one of us, if we're really honest about it, we struggle with humility because our hearts are full of pride. We are born full of something. We're born full of pride. We really are. We are full of ourselves. We are all full of ourselves. We are full of arrogance. We have a tendency to act like we know it all, that we are the bomb, that we got it down. And in our pride, we don't realize we wind up stomping on people all around us. As we live selfishly, as we live all about ourselves, as we just pursue what we want, we wind up, I got my stomping boots on this morning. You want to see them? Stomping. We wind up stomping on people all around. We don't even realize we're doing it. For most of us, even if you've been walking with Jesus for a really long time, our pride is a blind spot. Our pride is a... I used to drive a Chevette. I've told you about my little orange Chevette that I drove when I was a younger man. And it was a nice little car, great gas mileage. Actually, it was the worst car in the world, but it got me to where I needed to be going. But when you were driving that little orange car out on the highway, you really had to be careful switching lanes, because more than once, I had close calls, little itty bitty Chevette, getting run over by a big 18-wheeler Mack truck. Because I didn't see the truck in my mirror because there was a blind spot. You know, it's not there in the mirror, it's not up in this mirror, and I even look over my shoulder and didn't even see it because there's a blind spot back there. And there were certain times where I could have gotten into really bad accidents. And I got really used to the sound of a horn of a semi-tractor trailer blowing at me and certain gestures. I'm like trying to take sign language those days, trying to figure out what that means. But more than once I had close calls because I couldn't see that car because of the blind spots. And you were guessing at best if you were trying to change the lanes. And I didn't like that car after time because I learned that those blind spots were kind of unfixable. And I just had to be uber careful. Blind spots can be devastating. They can be devastating. Unrecognized pride can be devastating in our hearts. We see the nasty results of self-centered, unrecognized, unhindered pride every day when we walk out our front door. It manifests itself. Sometimes it does it in our own households. It manifests itself in hurt feelings. It manifests itself in tears. It manifests itself in harsh words. I'd like to reel that one back in. Manifests itself sometimes, unfortunately, unchecked, undealt with pride results in broken relationships. Sometimes it results in criminal assault. Sometimes it can even result in murder. Some of the senseless violence we hear about in the news is, a lot of the times, it's a result of unrecognized, unchecked, unhindered pride on the loose. The pride problem that we see today in our society, online, on the streets, in our living rooms, That pride problem was nothing new in Jesus' day. It was nothing new. And that's why it was at the top of his agenda in the Sermon on the Mount. He was dealing with this issue of pride. So, Pastor, okay, I get it. Humility, I got to watch out for my blind spot. What does humility in action look like in my life? Just a couple of really brief examples. Not going to spend a ton of time, but I'd just like to give you something practical to take out of here this morning. Simple stuff that even our kids can get. What does humility in action look like? Number one, put others first. Okay? Check your ego at the door. Put others first. Pastor Vicky hit this in the children's message. In a society where we're taught to look out for number one, Jesus calls us to put other people first. It's easy. But we're always like, shotgun! You know, racing to the first spot in line at Walmart, running and, you know, knocking little old ladies over and stuff like that so I can get my cart there and get out of there faster. I've never done that. Maybe a little old man done. Maybe. But in a society where we're taught to look out for number one, Jesus is, he's calling us to put others first. Put other people in front of us. That's always an issue. It's always an issue. Jesus has a simple solution. Intentionally let them go first. Somebody cuts you off in traffic? Let them go first. They must be in a hurry. You know? No sign language. Just let them go first. Let them be first in line. If you want to practice humility this week, intentionally allow others to go before you. Intentionally take up the last spot in line. Put others first. So we start actually rehearsing and practicing this in our lives. It feels very awkward, and our impatience gets tested. But it's good for your soul. It's good for your soul. Simply put others first. It also looks like, hey, if you want to see humility in action, be gentle, not harsh. We need more gentle people in this world. That doesn't mean we need doormats. I need strong, gentle people. There is a strength in gentleness. There is a strength in gentleness. There's a lot of anger flying around out there these days. We see it on social media. We see it in the news headlines. Sometimes we see it in our own households. There's a lot of anger flying around. There's a lot of harsh attitudes in the atmosphere, whether you're shopping at Walmart, getting knocked over by Pastor Joe, or whether you're grabbing a meal at a restaurant. There's Pastor Joe again. He's always elbowing his way in for his fries. Whether you're standing in line at the Bureau of Motor Vehicles or if you're out on Facebook, there's just a lot of harsh attitudes. It seems like the pandemic has made people more rude. You know, yeah, I'm seeing a lot of yes. People just got an edge. They've just got an edge about them. And Jesus has a simple solution for his people. Simple solution. Take a breath. Take a breath. Get over yourself. Okay? Get over yourself. Church, we need to get over ourselves. You know, I get really scared when the people I see out on the road giving me sign language or doing some of that stuff in the store are people I see at church on Sunday morning. Take a breath. Swallow your pride and intentionally practice gentleness. People are fragile today. People are fragile. They need the humility of Jesus Christ to intersect with their lives so that they can see that there's a different way to be, a better way to live, and a better way to find rest and peace in their lives. Swallow your pride. Be gentle. Yeah, so how, what does that look like being put into practice? Don't be mean. Just don't be mean, okay? Don't be a jerk. Don't be that person, okay? Amen?
Amen.
Final thought this morning, I'll let you go. It takes time, and sometimes I think it takes a lifetime, to learn how to become people of humility. It takes time to learn how to become people of humility. All of us, each and every one of you walked in here this morning. Even if you're married, you're on your own individual journey with Jesus, okay? You're on your walk with Jesus, and Jesus is working with you and in your lives. And all of us are on our own journey with regard to learning how to become humble. How to become humble. We're all born with a proud streak in us. There are no exceptions. All of us were born that way. And we may need to unlearn. There's that concept again. Remember, we talked about that a couple weeks. Are you ready to unlearn, church?
Yeah.
Unlearn some of the things that you have learned to do, habits that have been ingrained in who you are. Are you ready to unlearn and apply some new truth? We may need to unlearn some ways that we've been living. We may need to unlearn some ways that we've been treating people where we don't even think anything of it. But it may have become a blind spot, and the way we're treating people, we don't even realize that we got our stomping boots on. Lord, check our hearts. Lord, check our blind spot for us. We may need to unlearn some ways that we've become over time in our lives in order to become who Jesus is calling us to be. Jesus is calling us to be humble. We need to be willing to allow God to move into our hearts with no resistance, full surrender, so that he can write the law of the nature of humility in our souls. Because it's got to start from inside of who we are. We need a power from outside of us to come into us, to transform us, and God wants to come in. He doesn't want to take a hammer and chisel something into your heart. That'd be bloody and messy. He's gentle. He wants to come in and he wants to shape. Remember the Play-Doh a couple weeks ago? He wants to shape and mold our hearts so that we can become humble. We need to allow God to write his laws on our hearts, just like Jeremiah prophesied. We need to stop making excuses for inexcusable behavior. All right? This is part of what it means to learn to become humble. Stop making excuses for inexcusable behavior. Oh, I was just born that way. Yeah, you were born that way. We're trying to unlearn that. That's the point. You're there. You're part of the way there. Bring it a step forward. We have to stop making excuses. Jesus wants to change you, folks. He is on your side. He has already paved the path to victory. And part of that path is paved with learning how to become people of humility. Because when we become humble, that's when we really find rest. That's when we really find rest. Jesus wants to change you. When are you going to start letting him do that? When are you going to start allowing him to really get into some of those nooks and crannies of your soul that you've been holding back over time and allow him to come in and actually start changing your hearts? Because you see, Jesus is your brush with fame. Do you think about that? He's not a wax statue in Pigeon Forge. He's real. And he's waiting for you to get serious about engaging with him on this journey to humility. He's waiting for you to get serious about this business of humility. He's waiting for you and me to finally swallow our pride so that we can continue to be transformed into who he's calling us to be. He's waiting for us to surrender our vanity so that he can restore in us our humanity, who we were originally intended to be in the first place before sin marred who we are born in this world as. He's waiting. The question is, are we willing and ready to embrace the different story that he wants to teach us with regard to our humility?
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.